Hello, this is Terry Cheek, pastor of Calvary Baptist Church in Marion, North Carolina. I want to thank you for choosing our broadcast, and my prayer is that it will be an encouragement to your walk with the Lord. Comments or questions can be directed to me via the link on our sermon audio page. Now, on to your selection.
Tonight, we're going to be back in Revelation. We're going to be back in chapter 20. And I'm going to begin with verse 11 tonight. That is Revelation chapter 20 and verse 11. If you're using and have a study guide, it will be on page 122. Page 122 in the study guide that we're using. As you find your place, we want to go back over the first part of chapter 20, just as an introduction. The first few verses of chapter 20, we realize and we saw where Satan had been chained. And he had been thrown into the abyss. We continued on in our study. Christ then returned and set up his millennial kingdom. And in that millennial kingdom, he brought with him the church. He brought with him all of the redeemed saints of all of the ages. But also, there were the tribulation saints. There were those people who had lived through the tribulation, who did not receive the mark of the beast, who were not martyred. They too joined Christ in his millennial reign. At the end of this 1,000 years, Satan was loosed for a short period of time. And we went over and we understood who these people were that he would go after. Because we would stop and we would think when we consider this that Christ has been reigning for 1,000 years and everybody was going to be following his directions. Everybody was going to be following what he wanted. And you wonder who would be left that Satan would be able to tempt. Well, these people who were saved in the tribulation period, the tribulation saints, they had children. And those children had children. And those folks, they didn't die. Now maybe that was news to you, but if you go up to verse 4, as we're opening this tonight, chapter 20 and verse 4. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them, and I saw the souls of them that were beheaded or killed for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God. Now look at this. And which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their forehead or their hands. Those are your tribulation saints. And look what happens next. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. They lived 1,000 years. Now that's not me interjecting an opinion. That is not me reading something into God's Word. It's right there in black and white. They lived 1,000 years. They also would have had children. And those children would have lived that millennial reign as well. But here is something. These tribulation saints, they were redeemed sinners just like you and I today. And the children that they had would have been sinners that needed to be saved. So when Satan was loose for a short while, those are the people that he came after. Those are the ones that he tried to lead astray, and he did lead astray. He will lead a large number of these people against Christ. And in doing so, there will be the final conflict. And in that final conflict, God will win. And from there through verse 10, we see that the devil that had deceived all of these people was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and they shall be tormented forever. So now we are approaching what we have historically been told is the great white throne judgment. The final judgment of humanity. Nothing else will ever be judged. This is it. God brings everything, everything full circle. Everything that God has promised, everything that all of God's prophets have preached, everything the apostles and the priests and everyone has preached and proclaimed for years and years and years, now, at this point in Revelation, we see it coming true. So join me and let's read, let's begin reading with verse 11 tonight. And I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. Notice that's books, that's plural. So there's more than one. And another book, an odd book, singular, one book, was opened, and which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, the plural books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to his works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. So tonight we see judgment. Tonight, more so than at any other time during our study of Revelation, we are seeing the final judgment. From the very beginning when the church, we saw the seven churches and we saw the meaning of the seven candlesticks, and we saw the meaning of the stars that were in the right hand of the one that stood there, and right up through all of the judgments and the seals and everything that took place during those chapters, and all of the opportunities that humanity had to get right with God through the tribulation period, and their failure, and all of the people who sold themselves over to the devil, all of those who took the mark of the beast, all of those who participated in the worldly affairs and all of the riches and all of the wealth that the world would have, and to see it all destroyed and brought to naught. Now we find ourselves at judgment. A very sobering thought. Here, God brings to reality the decisions of man. We in today's society, and I hear it a lot, I've heard it a lot this week since the shooting, since the school shooting. I watched a post in one very, very controversial post, in my opinion, on the Huffington Post. But someone said, we're tired of prayer, and we're tired of good thoughts, and we're tired of all of this other stuff. We want something done. If we have gotten to a point where we don't believe God is the one that can do something, who is going to? If God can't do it, who this side of eternity can? We live in a society and in a day and in an age tonight where God is a figment of our imagination. At least that is the way we have been programmed to think about God. Even the church tonight is programmed to think about God as somebody that is not what the Bible says He is. We are programmed to think about God as someone, well, he might do this. If I bring it to him, he may do this. He may and he may not. We doubt God. We are in a society tonight that doubts God. But the scripture that we're looking at tonight and the future that's going to take place, it doesn't matter how severely humanity doubts God. It makes no difference how they question God. It makes no difference what they say about God or anything like that. When it comes down to this point in humanity and in history, when God says it is time for judgment, it will happen and it will be real. From the study guide on page 122 in the sidebar, we see a note there that talks about being tormented day and night. There was a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. The earth and the heavens could not look at the face of God. God's own creation could not look at Him. We do not have the ability to look upon God. Not in our present state. Not in our present condition. He is holy. He is righteous. He is true. He is everything His Word says He is. And we cannot look upon Him. But Jesus can. The Lord Jesus Christ can look upon God the Father tonight. And I'm glad that He can. Because He is standing at the right hand of God the Father tonight. And He can look upon Him. He can bring my petitions to God the Father. He can bring your petitions to God the Father. The Holy Spirit can bring our petitions to God the Father tonight. And if we are asking correctly, according to His Word, because we are told that we don't have because we ask amiss. Because we ask wrongly. Because we ask of our own lust. Because of our own desires. But if we ask properly, God will give them. If we ask because we want God glorified, if we ask because we want God lifted up, because we want the things that God wants, then He will give them. We have folks that we know, family or friends or co-workers, that we think a great deal of, that we love. And we don't want to see them lost. And we don't want to see them pass this world and leave this world and die not knowing Jesus Christ. We want to see them knowing that they're going to spend eternity in heaven. But that's not going to happen if somebody doesn't tell them about Jesus. It's not going to happen unless somebody shares the good news of Jesus Christ with them. And God's not going to pull off the top of their head and pour it in. Just like He didn't do that with you. He's not going to do it with them. Somebody has to share Jesus. And if it's not going to be the church, then Jesus is not going to get shared. We see that after earth and heaven couldn't look and there was no place for them. No place. That great white throne, when we look at that idea of judgment and the word throne, we are reminded here that it is mentioned nearly 50 times in the book of Revelation that there is a throne. But this one is different. This one is a judgment throne. We know that we are not to judge anyone, that God is going to do judging in the end. And this is that throne that judgment takes place at. It is a judgment throne. It is an elevated throne. It is a pure throne. It is a holy throne. And God sits on it as a judge. As a matter of fact, if you have one of the study guides in parentheses there, you'll see a list of verses. All of those are found in the book of Revelation. And it deals with God being a judge. But He is there in the person of Christ. It is that whole concept of the Trinity. Christ will sit on that throne. Go back and look at, or go forward and look at chapter 21, verses 5 and 6. Read ahead. It says, "And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said to me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely." Those are the words of Jesus. You can look into Isaiah chapter 12, verse 3, or Revelation chapter 1, verse 8. They may not be here the words of His specifics, but they are the work of Christ that is implied through His Word. Folks, we're seeing something unfold before us in the book of Revelation tonight that is something that is eye-opening. It's something that we've heard our grandparents talk about. It is something we have heard preachers and pastors of old preach of and talk about. It is something that we have heard evangelists mention. It is something that we have studied in our Sunday school classes. It is something that we have read about in our Bibles and in the books that we study and that we read. But it is something that tonight it comes face to face in our study of Revelation from the first verse of the first chapter to our point here in chapter 20 tonight. Judgment has arrived. Verse 12 we see, John says, "I saw the dead." Small and great. They were standing before God. And the books were open. When John says they were standing before God, we need to understand there's a special understanding that comes from that. It's not just cheap words that roll off the tongue. It's a judicial statement. It means John saw guilty people. He saw people that were condemned. Just as tomorrow morning when I get up and I get ready for work and I drive down to the prison and I go through the gatehouse and I go up and I get ready and I go back and I start my day. Everyone walking around in a brown jumpsuit. It's someone that has been condemned. They have been judged and they have been found guilty. And they are easily identified by the clothes that they wear. Just as easily identified are these folks here. John says he saw them standing before God, before divine justice. They weren't standing before the district court judge. They weren't standing in front of a jury at the superior court. They were standing before a divine judge. The Lord Himself was standing there over them. He was standing there looking at them. There were no living sinners that were left. The world as we know it, and for all parts and pieces, came to an end. The universe was in a shambles and is in a shambles at this time. All sinners had been killed. And all of the saints were standing with God as glory. John says he saw the dead, small and great, and they were standing before God and the books were open. These books, these plural books, if you look in your study guide in the side note, it says that these books recorded every thought, every word, and every deed of sinful men, all recorded by the divine omniscience. Daniel 7:10, that is the verse that is the source of this text. And these records will provide the evidence for eternal condemnation. Revelation 18, verses 6 and 7. Think about something for just a moment. Before you were saved, these works and these deeds and these thoughts of yours were in this book. So were mine. We were that close to God's judgment. But Jesus came into our life. But somebody loved God enough to tell us about Jesus. Somebody loved us enough to tell us about Jesus. Somebody was willing to share the saving grace and the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ with you and with I tonight. And that's why our names are blotted out of that book. Our names are no longer written there. Those sins are no longer recorded. Those thoughts, those deeds are no longer recorded. But there are some tonight who are adding to the pages of that book. There are some tonight who are walking around unsaved and unredeemed. They may be going to church. They may be living a good moral life. They may be kind, giving people. They may be some of the sweetest people that you'll ever want to meet. But they don't know Jesus. And as long as they don't know Jesus, they are adding to the pages in these books. Now that ought to be scary. That ought to be frightening tonight that we know people who are doing this. And what ought to be even scarier for the child of God tonight is that we know from God's Word that there are people in our lives and in our families and in our workplaces that are adding to these pages and to the books of their thoughts and their deeds and their sinfulness. And we won't share Jesus. Over in the book of 1 Peter, there's some verses that go something like this. If judgment would begin at the house of God, what shall the end be of them who know not the gospel? If judgment would begin at the house of God, if we are saved, but we are saved scarcely, and we don't practice it, and we don't share it, if judgment begins with us, and it's nothing that we have proven or done of our own, and it's all about Jesus, not about us, if that is the condition that we're in tonight, what will be the end of those who do not know the gospel? When we see those books, it's frightening. But then there's a bright spot. There's a bright spot. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. The book of life contains the names of all of the redeemed. Now we already know the redeemed are with Christ. We already know that the saints are there. We already know that judgment and that the attempted overthrow of Satan and his army, that's been blotted out, that it's been wiped away. Those people have been killed, they're dead, and they have been cast away. And now they're standing up before God for judgment. And the book of life then shows all of the redeemed, the evidence that those that are there because they have been saved. God did not have to have a book of life at judgment. God had a book of life there to begin adding the misery of those who denied Him. Those who rejected Him. Those that were saved and those that were redeemed, they were already with the Lord Jesus Christ in their glorified bodies. The day will come, and I'm thankful. Oh, am I so thankful that the day's coming when I'm going to get a glorified body. I am so ready to turn this one in for an overhaul. I'm so thankful that day's coming. And my name is written in that book, the Lamb's Book of Life. What a joy that is to be able to praise God for His mercy and praise God for His grace of writing my name in that book, into that book of life. I love Him for that tonight. That's something we all should be cherishing. And from that, the dead were judged. And those things which were written in the books according to their works, the lost will be judged by their works, just as the saved will be judged by their works. When we go back into the book of Thessalonians, and we read about the Bema Seat of Christ, the Judgment Seat of Christ, we are given rewards, crowns, that we have earned throughout life because of the way we have handled our salvation and the way we have been obedient to Christ and obedient to the things that are written in the Word of God. And we earn those crowns accordingly to our obedience. And it says plainly that when we get them, we will give them back. But the reality is, when we stand at the Bema Seat of Christ, the judgment will be, we will see where we have failed and others have succeeded. We will see where we have missed the mark and others have achieved it. And it will be no one's fault but our own. Because we had the same Bible that they had. We had the same Holy Spirit they had. We had the same choice and the same decision that they had. That will be the judgment of the works of the child of God. But then the day comes here where the works of the dead will judge them. Their greed, their lust, their selfishness, everything that comes in their hearts and comes in their lives that keeps them separated from God, those works will be the works that judge them. Even the sea will give up its dead which were in it. And death and hell will give up the dead which were in them. Everyone that has died and has went into the eternal hell, separation from God throughout all of the ages, will stand there. And when they stand there, and as they stand there, and as they look upon the holiness and the righteousness of the Lord Himself, they will be cast into the lake of fire. And this is the second death. It is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. That judgment is this death. They will be cast into the lake of fire. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into that lake of fire. And I realize tonight there are many, like the Jehovah Witnesses or the Mormons or the Unitarians or some of these other groups, and they will try to tell you, yes, yes, there is a hell, and yes, there will be a judgment. But you will not stay there for eternity. You will be consumed. Or it will only be for a short period of time till the fire purges you of your sins, and then you will be taken out of it. We have read this passage verse by verse tonight. Did you find that anywhere in God's Word? It says this will be the second death. It is permanent. There is no consumption to that fire. There is no purification to that fire. It is permanent. Those who find themselves condemned, those who find themselves suffering in the hell that is the lake of fire at this point in time, it is a done deal. Friends, as we depart tonight and as we go our ways, let's let these verses be real in our hearts and lives. Let's let the reality of knowing that this hell is for real and that it will be a judgment one day in the future. And those who do not accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, they will experience it. As you have the opportunity, and you will have the opportunity to share Jesus, as you have that opportunity, sharing. The souls of others depend on it. It is that important.